This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Never filtered, always fun.
It's like a row of pigeons. You know those dolls you open up, like those Russian dolls, and there's a smaller one?
Yeah.
You just go from pigeon to pigeon to pigeon to pigeon, and you get the tracksuit.
Okay.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Our man is back in L.A. He is back, and he's doing it again.
Which guy? The Dine and Dash guy.
He is at it again.
How have they not caught him? How is the Dine and Dash dater still a fugitive on the run?
I bet you.
And I'm on the fence between thinking this man is a criminal or a legend.
I think he's a criminal, but does he wear like a beard and a mustache? Like, does he change his look every time, or is it the same guy?
This guy's strapping on a feed bag at Top End Places and walking out. What happened to him? Where he wanted to...
Well, he's obviously, he's a jaded individual. Like, yes, he's been scorned, right? Yes. Like, there have been women in his past that
who
have walked out on.
Yes.
And he feels he has to get back at women in general. That would be my amateur psychologist take on all of that. But I think he's banking on ignorance. I think he's banking on, you know, girls on Tinder who aren't watching the news and have never heard of this guy before. And he pops up, and they're like, yeah, we can meet you. Okay, that seems like a nice spot. They show up. The guy's already got appies on the go.
A couple drinks in him.
Couple drinks.
And
he's got a prime rib.
That's the thing. He's not he's not ordering chips and dip. This guy's running up a bill.
And then I guess he says, I'll be right back. I'm going to the washroom, and see you later.
Now, do you think it's ever going to get... Because we always see this, the cause and effect in society. Do you ever think it'll get to a point where you go into a restaurant and they're like, okay, Visa first. Put your credit card down before you order.
I don't think so. I think that's a dangerous game for restaurants to start playing. I mean, because you don't know what you're going to order.
It wouldn't shock me if things went online. Oh, you want to make a reservation? Credit card. Book it under your credit card. And there's no, this is our tip system and it's all going to be gone and you just leave. Why not?
Like an automated situation.
Everything else is in life.
Well, if you want to tip more.
Human element of life is being taken away, period.
Yeah. Well, actually, I read something this morning. Do you see that Uber, which is kind of in this line of thinking, is going to implement a new system where you can rate your driver while you're still in the car?
Oh, really?
So, like,
dude, that's been around forever.
No, but we're talking... No, usually afterwards you rate it.
Yeah. Buddy, by the way, what the hell's up with Uber? Like, are you supposed to be giving the Uber driver cash as well?
No, it's
I thought there's a
card.
It's a tip involved, right?
Yes.
There's always a...
It's like 15% right off the bat.
Well, see, if you want to be... Now,
I'm not giving the guy cash. It's on my credit card. You're getting a tip. I'm not tipping
you. Why? Is he, like, turned around and
I've had a couple guys saying, hey, you know...
What about something?
And I've had been in the car with a couple people saying you're supposed to tip the Uber driver some cash.
No, you're not.
I'm like, no, you don't.
That's the whole point.
It's cut and dry. See, you have a profile as well. So I don't know. Uber driver was telling me, as much as we can look at their rating, they can look at your rating. So if you've ever had an incident with them, your rating may not be 5 stars. I checked out the guy allowed me to see my rating. I had a decent rating, but I also made sure that I have a good built-in tip, because you can get picked up by drivers if you have a good rating and a good
tip. Okay, but I'm not going to over-tip so that, like, you're doing me the service here.
Right.
Like, I'm going to pay you. It's not like I'm not paying you. I'm not going to over-tip you so you give me a 5-star review. But this idea of actually, giving a review or writing something into the system during the drive is very different. Now, Uber claims that the driver themselves will not be able to access that until after you've left the card. But I'm not sure I believe that.
No.
Like, what if there's a glitch in the system? This guy's halfway through his trip, and you're just carving him. You're like, this guy's a bozo. The music's too loud. He's smoking in his car. And all of a sudden, something pops up on his phone. He's like, oh, really?
Yeah, I got a zero.
Interesting.
Gave him a one.
Yeah. Guess where we're going to go now?
Yeah.
Lock the doors, middle of nowhere.
You're going to have a fight.
How's that going?
You're going to fight for your life to get out of there.
Yeah, so I don't trust Uber at all. I wouldn't do that. Anyway, it's good to be in here today. I put my life on the line yesterday.
haircut.
You do look like you've got a fresh.
Wow.
Finally, I had to.
The Flowbee came out. It is a perfect haircut.
Well, I had the long hair going, and it just doesn't work. And
it's perfect. Like, there's.
I'm feeling good about this.
Not one hair out of place.
Is that a Whitby supercut job?
No, it's not, actually. It's, I don't know. Like a salon kind of type joint.
Oh, higher end.
Oh, yeah, in Whitby?
Yeah. Sorry, dude. Downtown cool guy over here. That's where I go, yes. What do you think? I'm going to drive into the city and
I'm
go
just
to
saying,
Yorkville
what
to get my hair
salon,
cut?
What kind of salon is happening in Whitby?
Probably a three-star
salon. The Burbs.
I don't need anything in particular. Where do you go to get your hair cut?
A bunch of different places.
I go in mine at Bayview Mall. They've got a great salon there.
I need to know your routine, though. Like, yeah. What are you talking
about? Don't worry
like,
about it.
What
don't
kind of cash are you spending on a haircut?
Me?
Yeah.
How much was that haircut?
It's like $35.
Yeah, mine's $39.50 plus tip, a generous tip.
Yeah, I give a nice tip.
So you're in the ballpark.
Okay. All right, so then what does it matter?
No, it's just good. I just wanted to know what's available in Whitby.
There's not a ton of Bobby and Dregs,
and you guys all, Kara, you all live out there.
Yeah.
I want to know what the hell, by the way, I might move out there.
Yeah.
I've had me and Jamie talk today. I can't do the downtown thing anymore.
You're done, huh?
I can't. Crazy people, garbage behavior,
driving,
traffic.
That's what drove me nuts. The driving.
I rip you for living in Whitby. I would beg to live in Whitby right now. Beg.
Well, watch what you wish for, because there are times where I wish I lived downtown when I'm going to Leaf games and stuff like that. I mean, it's
that's
a give
fair.
And take, right?
But it is give and
I
take.
Like it out there. I enjoy it out there. It's a good setup for what I have going on. Noodles, you're about to move into the middle of nowhere.
I move into Kleinburg.
Yeah, you're going the opposite way.
Apparently, there was a murder there the other day.
Really? Well, you would know it. You have access to anything that's awful in the world. Noodles has access to it. Have you ever met anybody like him? He rolls in here every day. He's like, do you guys hear about this story? We're like, no, we have no idea what you're talking about.
I read papers and I watch the news.
Like, I guess.
The news,
he has a secret wire that notifies him. Like, you know those scans that we get for all the NHL news? Like, his is...
Yeah.
News.
Anything around where he lives is popped up in his computer.
It's like a presidential briefing.
What I do is try to be aware of my surroundings. We live in Toronto. Toronto's a beautiful city, but it's also there's danger here too. Like there's danger left and right.
Well, yeah.
I read an article how the M13s, that gang that Trump wants out, guess where they're moved to?
Well, they're
Toronto.
All, they're kind of spreading
like
all
Tim
over the
Thomas.
World.
He has like a bunker in his backyard.
I know. I'm getting worried about you, man.
Wakes up and puts his hard hat on.
MS-13 is the gang. And they're on the move here.
You're about 2 weeks away from army fatigues. You're gonna come in here in army fatigues.
Mel Gibson.
We have to start
movie
the show with a salute.
Conspiracy theory.
Yes, conspiracy theory.
Remember how jaded he was then?
Yeah, you get into like a real conversation with true conspiracy theorists. I used to work with a guy who used to do a show that was national.
Really?
His name was Bill the Spaceman. No, it wasn't Bill. It was Spaceman. Anyway, we called him Space. And he was like a true believer
of like
the Illuminati and everything's connected.
UFOs,
and
anything.
Oh, dude, man, he would corner you and start telling you about things. And by the end of it, you're like, what? Like, where did? So you're telling me the Leafs lost last night because Prince William just had a son?
Yeah, exactly.
Like what?
Like it's all tied together, right?
But everything is somehow tied together.
Wow. I talk about tying together. Here's a segue for you.
Mm-hmm.
Betting. On things.
How about this news out of the States? Now, we don't know how this is going to affect Canada, and in Ontario we have Proline, so you can gamble on sports, but down in the States this morning, the Supreme Court, so the highest court in the land, ruled that making sports gambling illegal is unconstitutional. So in other words, they've sent it back to the States and said, if you want to legalize sports gambling, go for it. Now, not every state is going to do it, but a lot of states will. This began with Jersey. So Jersey's going to be on this real quick.
I would love it.
Real quick. And this will spread like wildfire. It's going to be just like the legalization of marijuana. A couple of states will do it. They'll make a fortune. And everyone else will be like, what the hell are we doing? Like, let's go. We got to get in on this.
Yeah.
So I think from a sports fan's perspective, what this could mean is, you know, the ripple effect 2, 3, 5, 10 years down the road where we see sports books in the rinks, in the arenas, and live betting options via apps or whatever while you're in your seat.
This is
where it's going.
And I think it's great.
I think it's great too, Jamie, but I also know, like, when Casino Rama was built, I knew that this is great. Like, there's going to be a bunch of money flowing through this casino. But I also know the negative aspect of it, where there's going to be some residents of Orillia who are going to be just bye-bye. And that's their own problem. It's like, it's your addiction, but it's just, people go nuts with this stuff, right?
Well, they do. I mean, there's no disputing that there's a dark side to
but
it.
But I guess there's a dark side to everything, right?
That's
some
the reality.
People
there's
drink
a,
more,
there's drugs a dark, more. There are a lot of alcoholics that still go to games. They don't say, sorry, we can't sell beer because of
yeah,
the fear
right,
that
right.
someone is going
to
overdrink.
And if you don't want to do, if you don't want to gamble, don't do it. They're not, just because, let's say it's brought into hockey circles and you go to a Leaf game, doesn't mean you have to gamble on that game, but would it be an option and would some people enjoy that? Absolutely. Like, think of the overdrive prop bets we could put together for a Leaf game. How about a Leaf playoff game?
Mm-hmm.
Boston
think about
Bruins
that.
Versus the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, see, the thing is about that, those are the scenarios where you don't need gambling to add to the emotion and
right.
the passion. It's the Monday night game when Carolina's in town in November where you're like, I'll bet on this power play. You know, like, I think they're going
to
score.
You got to be a degenerate gambler to say, this power play right here, they're going
to
score.
Well, but here's the thing, though. You put limits on it. And I don't know how the leagues are going to respond to this. The NBA right. has been saying they're moving this direction for quite some time. They want to make money off of this.
For sure.
Baseball said the same thing. Bettman has always been anti-gambling publicly. Now that the Supreme Court has come out and said what it said, it wouldn't shock me if his tune changes a little bit. The NFL, I'm not sure where they're going to land.
It's a stream of revenue.
The money's being spent anyway.
Because all you're
it's being
doing
spent
is,
anyway.
Is your it's getting back to the legalization of pot. People are doing it anyways.
Right.
All you're doing is taking a little cut of the dealers.
And now that it's legalized, it's not like people are going to be like, oh, I'm going to start smoking weed. I've never smoked weed before, but now that it's legalized, I'm going to smoke. The same thing with gambling. If you're not a gambler, this isn't right. going to affect you at all. And I'm sure the leagues, they own the arenas. They will be working in conjunction with whoever's regulating this. And you can put a limit on it as well. I mean, we laugh about it, but you don't want to be responsible for some guy walking out of the rink. He just lost $50,000 because he couldn't control himself.
But we just discussed it, Brian. It's that's on you. I mean,
it is on you.
They sell beers. It doesn't mean you should have 30 beers during a game.
Right. You're an adult, so act like an adult. But I understand that it's a vice, and it can be very addictive. But what
it
I'm saying
is, it does make the game a lot more entertaining, though, because I don't gamble a lot. Once in a while, I'll put money on a football game, and I'll tell you, when I watch that football game, my interest level is through the roof.
It's basic. Common knowledge, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you have skin in the game, so to speak, you're going to have a different view of the whole experience.
Well, think of Las Vegas. You're going there soon, are you not?
Yeah, going this weekend.
Okay, so you take a certain amount of money, and you're like, okay, I'm going to gamble it away. I hope to chase it. I hope to win. If you lose it, like, it's going to be the same thing. Like, we all go to Vegas. It's not the same formula. Some people, as couples, go and watch a show.
Mm-hmm.
There's Vegas for kids. There's Vegas for degenerates who want to head up to the chicken ranch and be at the strippers and drink their face off and do illegal drugs. Like, there's
that's okay.
It's for everyone.
Whatever you want. If you're in Vegas, don't mess
exactly.
with other people, and you do what you want to do.
But that's if there's another layer to this sport that is untapped, I'm sure there'll be some awful stories, but there'll also be some great stories, too.
But what I'm saying is, like, if we're talking in, with where we're going, everyone in the rink now has a cell phone.
Right.
So what I envision in 5 years, 10 years, whatever, where it's even going to be more pronounced where everyone's got a cell phone, you download the app, and there's a limitation on how much you could even bet per game anyway.
Right.
And I don't know if that's $20, $100.
Why would you ever do that, though? If you're going to do gambling, why would you put a limit on people? You don't open a Mandarin and say, oh, only have two pieces of chicken there.
Well,
but you want to say, you want to come here, you can get the full meal deal and do whatever you want.
What I'm saying is, from their perspective, I agree with that. I mean, I believe in the free market, and if you want to gamble, it's your money, you do what you have to. I'm not rejecting that. What I'm saying is, what I picture is, these leagues thinking that they don't want to be in a position where they've taken 50 grand away from someone when he's walking out the rink. Right. So I could see them trying to protect the image and the morality and all that.
You can't control that, though.
Well, you can if it's through an app, and it's like, sorry, you've used up your limit. You've spent...
How are you going to cap that? What are you going to put that limit on?
Well, I don't know. I'm just
saying. Some big shooter like Charles Barkley gets on the app, and he's like, I want to bet $1 million on the Arizona Coyotes tonight. And the app's going to say, sorry, sir, that's too much. You would be an idiot to do that. Yeah, an idiot.
There's got to be layers, though, too.
They're not worried about Charles Barkley, though. Yeah. They're talking about the guy who makes 45 grand a year that's at the only game of the year. That's where it's always taken. That's where
kids?
The
if you can get it approved on the card, too. You bet whatever you want. But whatever.
It's got to be through a credit card or something.
There's 10-year-olds that have cell phones now.
Yeah. But that's where you would obviously need a credit card. You would need to go through some
controls,
sort of vetting system. Like, I don't know. We're just spitballing. This is so premature. We have no idea what's going to happen here.
I think if you can get it to a formula where it works for everyone, this is real good uncharted waters for the NHL if they wanted to head down that path.
Well, someone texting and saying, I've got $50 that says someone will sue one of the leagues after they lose their life savings gambling at a game because of the world we live in. That's probably true, but then it's on the courts to be responsible and say, sorry, you're a grown adult and you're
a gambling addict, and that's not our problem.
You kept losing. Exactly. And that's always been my standpoint, is just because there's a couple of examples of people that take it way too far, don't ruin it for everyone else who only wants to spend $10 at the game or $20. You know, and that applies to all the vices in our society. But it's a big day down in the States. I mean, again, I don't know what kind of carryover this will have in Canada and how it will affect the 7 Canadian hockey teams and the Raptors and the Blue Jays. And I'll tell you what, the CFL, I think this is made for the CFL. The CFL should be embracing gambling and pushing that. And that's a way you can maybe get people into your stadium. You put a sports book down at BMO Field Friday night, nice weather outside, come watch an Argos game and hang out in the lounge or whatever, bet on the game, bet on the props, whatever it is. I mean, it's just an option. It's a new avenue that all of a sudden you can promote.
What kind of crazy props could get thrown around? Like, you're talking about scoring on the power play and stuff. Like, is that...
So the ref puts his arm up in the air, you get on the app and say, 50 grand, they're going to score.
Yeah. Well, 50 grand. I don't know about 50 grand. You keep going to 50 grand.
Like, $5 they're going to
score. Exactly, $5. You know, you're getting odds because they score 25% of the time, so you're getting 4-to-1 odds or whatever.
I've worked with someone who likes to gamble like that. There's an app, and he has all these things like amount of goals in the first period, and he is very, very interested while the game is going on.
Well, and that's the reality. It's already out there, like offshore all these different apps.
It's
and
legal
places
in,
out
you'll
of Europe.
You'll see, Brian, when you get to Vegas, it's legal in Nevada.
Yeah, it is.
So I have a buddy who lives in L.A., but he travels to Vegas about 100 times a year. He has, like, he says the minute he lands in Nevada, his app works. And he makes all of these bets. He calls me sometimes. He's like, what do you think of this game tonight? Like, San Jose, Anaheim. And I'm like, I don't know. Take a look at the schedule. Take a look at who's hurt. Like, I try and steer him, but I don't want anything to do with it. I don't understand if it's legal or not. He's like, no, this is completely legal.
Oh, in Nevada you can. Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I'm putting $500 on this game tonight. Who do you think wins?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know.
Like, I can't imagine Vegas is happy about this today, because if sports gambling becomes legal in other states, it's going to take away from their sports books, because a lot of people go to Vegas and it's always like, hey, throw down 20 on this for me, or throw down 100. Right. You don't have to go to Vegas anymore. You can go down to the sports book down the road if you want to.
I had a friend text me this over the weekend. Said they went to Vegas at the start of the season and put $800 on the Winnipeg Jets to win the Stanley Cup. It's 60 to 1 odds. It was 60 to 1.
When was that?
In September.
60 to 1 the Jets were getting.
Yeah. 48,000's the payout.
He's gotta be feeling good.
Well, I don't know. I mean, but you're right.
Like, well, if you get to the Cup final, you gotta hedge it. Like, you gotta place a bet on the other team so you're guaranteed to win money. That's the degenerate.
You're sick in the you should be running this gambling app. Should quit this job and just
you got to hedge it.
I'm Hazy like, right. B's betting,
but
extravaganza. Well, you know,
I don't even know what the hell hedge it means.
Well, it's to
You bet against it.
Like, if you've got 48 grand coming up here, you don't put, you know, 48 on the other one, but you're like, here, let's sprinkle something on the other team so I'm guaranteed some sort of win.
You sound like a degenerate.
But the true degenerates don't do, they will not hedge because they're like, I'm committed to it and I want every penny.
Yeah, but it was $800. That's what so I what does do. He care?
Well, I
this
hear
guy
you,
can but... afford it, but it was $800. He's like, yeah, I'm a Jets fan. He's like, yeah, I threw $800 on it. I think he won at the table, just walked up and bought a ticket.
That's a big bet for a future, man. That's a big bet for, like, most people put like $10 or $20 on a future bet.
I think it was about a 4 a.m.
What's a
bet
future?
Like, who's going to win the Super Bowl next year? How many wins are the Raptors going to have next season? That's an interesting question. We should start playing futures. Like, looking at the Leafs next year, would you place a bet on them
surpassing the amount of points.
Yeah, having more points than they had last year.
I'd say no.
We'll do it tomorrow. We'll do a full betting show.
I like it.
On the Leafs and sports in the future.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Let's do it.
We're going to call it Back to the Future.
Mackenzie Hughes is going to call in about 10 minutes, your boy on tour.
He's a good guy to talk to.
Well, he was playing with Tiger, and
he was hitting some old school Tiger. That was the first time I've ever watched him. The stingers, the clutch putting. I'm thinking, this is the guy that I used to watch. He did some, you know, he scared some people in Tampa at that golf course, but it didn't really come to anything.
He was scary over the weekend. He was
good,
though.
He looked like the swing, the shots. The confidence, it was like...
Oh, he didn't you call it, though, afterwards? He was like, I could have got a 50 on this, or 54.
What did he actually say?
He goes, I played really well and could have done a lot better.
Yeah.
Because that's his signature move. He's like, I could have shot 63 today. I thought he was honestly going to say, I could have shot 54 today.
Well, he did say afterwards, he feels like he's trending towards winning tournaments, and... Like, he had the club twirl off the tee a lot over the weekend.
The stinger, the little stinger.
Yeah.
And that golf course, those scores that they were shooting on that golf course, I've played it about 50 times. It's incredible to think that those guys are shooting those scores.
Well, he went Norman on 17 yesterday. When he put that in the water, that was it. He wasn't catching Webb Simpson anyway. It didn't matter.
But what he does is he makes you think, if you're a Tiger fan, around 8th or 9th hole, you're thinking... And everybody should have known, if you're a golf fan, that Webb Simpson was going to win that golf tournament. Like, you're 19 under. You just get through the day, and it's a difficult position because it's such a big lead. But Tiger makes you think that he's actually going to do it.
Just a little. There was a little cast of doubt.
Like
this
the TV people are just like, we love you so much because you're ahead of the leaders, and you are making everyone believe that you can do this.
They can't stop showing them, and this is why, because...
I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. If you're Tiger Woods, wouldn't you call the... Like, I would say, you know what? I want appearance fees.
For what? To show up to tournaments?
Yeah. He goes, I drive... Like, he moves the needle more than everybody.
Well, the Golf Channel...
I think the European Tour does appearance fees.
Yeah, generally, if he's... Because he's getting exemptions to play on that tour, I believe. Like, he goes to Dubai or whatever, they're paying him...
They're probably giving him $1 million min. More?
Way more than that. Wait, I'll bet she's making $4 or $5 million to show up.
Dude, it's not that much.
See how much money is in Dubai and it's Tiger rolling in? Like, they toss that around.
$4 or $5 million to show up? It's $1 million. I'm sorry, we're kind of...
All right, let's look it up. We'll come back. Yeah, we'll catch up Weeksy with Mackenzie.
We'll ask Weeksy. It's not $4 million to show up.
Okay, you say $1 million, I say $4 million. We'll see who's closer. We'll get you that answer next. All right, Duffy allegedly will be in studio at 5. Catch up with him.
He'll be with us last week.
Well, he was in here doing his podcast earlier this afternoon, so...
The old Rubber Boots.
Rubber Boots podcast. So he's supposed to be in here at 5. It's game 2 tonight, Winnipeg, Vegas. And, of course, the Caps are up 2-0. We've got to get into that series. But Tiger was charging over the weekend at TPC at the Players, and Webb Simpson ended up winning, but... No one even cares. Like, no one cares that Webb Simpson won. It's all about Tiger. And Mackenzie Hughes, who's a Canadian, had a really good week at the Players, and he was paired with Tiger over the weekend. We'll catch up with him in 2 minutes. All right, Duthie in studio at 5 on the NHL playoffs and how the NHL may respond to this news down in the States that the Supreme Court ruled that making sports gambling illegal is unconstitutional. So how does he expect Gary Bettman and the owners to respond to that? And David Purdom will join us from ESPN. He's a betting analyst at 5:30 to get more into that story. Jays are off tonight. They're in New York tomorrow. The players just wrapped up over the weekend. You said you played this course a bunch. And Webb Simpson ended up winning the tournament.
A zillion times I played it. So hard.
And here's a guy who had a great week. He's a Canadian. He's been on the show before. Here is Mackenzie Hughes. How you doing, Mackenzie?
Hey, good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
What about that golf course? I mean, I know I'm an amateur. I played it a bunch of times, allowed those scores. Usually when you're talking post-players, it's about the wind, how the guys were struggling. There were some really good scores. What about the setup or the golf course was allowing it that this weekend?
Yeah, so in comparison to past years, I think it was just the greens were a tad softer than they had been in the past. Last year, I know I shot one under for the entire week, and that was in top 15. I think one under this week would have been, you know, basically last place amongst the guys that made the cut. So, yeah, just a different ball game in that sense, and guys were able to hold shots with long irons and mid irons into the greens, where last year that was really tough to do. So, yeah, just a little bit different. You know, the wind was not quite up like it was last year. So, you know, those two things combined make for definitely a more capable golf course.
You got to play with Tiger Woods. Is that your first time? I think it was your first time playing with him. What was that experience like? I mean, the crowds following that guy this weekend were nuts. What is the competitor playing with him? What's the most important thing? I mean, sometimes when he putts out first, everybody starts moving. What are the difficulties and challenges of that pairing?
Yeah, well, first off, first time, and, you know, I was thrilled to get the pairing. I thought, you know, what better, you know, experience can you have than playing with, you know, arguably the best golfer ever and certainly of this generation. And so I was thrilled. I was super excited. And I think the biggest thing for me, I tried to really embrace what was going to happen, embrace, you know, the chaos of the day, the, you know, thousands and thousands of people out there. I mean, it's a fun kind of cauldron to be in. I mean, we're going off early on a Saturday morning and, you know, on the first tee, there's, you know, 5,000 people there, you know, and then by the end of the day, there's, you know, 15,000 people. And we're, you know, it seems like we're the only group on the golf course. And it's just amazing to me that he has done that basically every day of his life. And he's won 79 times. So, it was amazing, but I really, the biggest thing for me and for people trying to play in that environment, I think, is just embracing what's going to happen and just kind of having fun with it.
With Mackenzie Hughes, who shot 4-over over the weekend at the Players and was paired with Tiger on Saturday, and you went pretty low on Saturday. He went real low. But when you're in a scenario like that, you're playing against the field. You're trying to win the tournament. But do you find yourself competing directly with the guy that you're paired with?
Yeah, I think, had it been anyone else, I wouldn't have been necessarily feeling that. But because it was Tiger, because he was playing so well, and then when I kind of got on a little run myself there around the middle of the round, I kind of found myself trying to keep up, which, you know, it was just, you know, not in a bad way, but just kind of in a fun, you know, competitive nature kind of way. I was like, I want to beat this guy, or I want to, you know, I want to hang with this guy. And it was cool to kind of hang in there with them. If I had made a few more putts in my back nine, I really hit it great. It just, the putts weren't falling for me, and he made a few more putts than I did. But it was incredible, and you definitely kind of find yourself, you know, in that sort of pairing, kind of going head-to-head with a guy like that.
Mackenzie, talk about the 17th hole at TPC and the challenges that come with it.
Yeah, it's such a unique hole because it's so benign, with no wind and playing it on an ordinary day. But then, you know, say you get to that hole and you're, you know, on the cut line, or maybe you're trying to win a tournament, or you're playing for the biggest paycheck of your career. I mean, that hole, suddenly the green just shrinks and, you know, you have so many, you know, thoughts going through your mind. You have that big long walk from 16 green to 17 tee. And, you know, if you surround that hole with just bunkers or grass, I mean, it'd be one of the easiest par threes in the world. But the green is surrounded by water, and all of a sudden it makes guys, you know, with a wedge in their hand, you know, pretty nervous. And So I just think, you know, the drama of the whole, the fact that it comes so late year round gives you such little time to recover. You make a big number there, you really don't have, and then you go to 18, which might be an even harder hole. So it's really great theater. It's a really hard shot for us players, but, you know, if you're going to win that tournament, you have to hit a good shot there, and it's, you know, it's the only hole like it in golf, so it's pretty cool.
I don't think the players is anything like the Waste Management, but it seemed like those people were having a good time. What's it like out there? Did you hear, you must hear some goofy things when people are day drinking all day long and you guys are trying to play golf.
Yeah. Well, you know, that comment is especially true, you know, on an ordinary day. And then on Saturday when I was playing the Tigers, the crazy, you know, kind of hybrid golf fans that are mainly Tiger fans and they're day drinking, it gets pretty rowdy out there. And some of the things that are said, you know, kind of leave you shaking your head, but that's just what it is. And I told the guys that asked me questions after the round that it makes me appreciate what he does even more because of the chaos and everything that surrounds him and all the comments and the yelling. He really has to keep himself in a different zone than most guys would have to. So it's unbelievable. And yeah, he just goes through way more than the ordinary golfer does.
Everybody says when Tiger Woods is playing good golf and he's on the range or he's playing, it sounds different, it looks different. Did you see a couple shots where you were like, man, I played some quality golf, but I've never really seen that before?
Yeah, there was a couple shots out there where I kind of was like, I don't have that shot. And, you know, I don't need to have all those shots, but it certainly would be nice to hit a, you know, on the ninth hole, par five, he had a great drive down there, and he had like 260 yards and big tall trees hanging, the, like, yeah, kind of guard the corner.
It's impossible to hit that green in two.
Over the trees. You know, and most guys, you know, are trying to kind of either go kind of sling something around the corner, play to the front right portion of the green, and he hits this four iron, I mean, to the clouds. And it comes down right on the front of the green, lands soft. He's got an eagle putt. I'm thinking to myself, like, that's highly impressive, highly impressive. And, you know, there was some shots like that. And then just walking around on a day like that when, you know, it's 90 degrees outside and you kind of just, everything feels special when you're out there, like the environment, like the crowd. He makes those putts. You hear the roars that you associate with Tiger. And you can't help but have, like, goosebumps, which is crazy on a day when, you know, I'm sweating and drinking so much water, and then occasionally you just get this, like, you know, shiver. You're like, wow, I'm playing with Tiger Woods. He's, you know, tearing this course apart, and I'm right along with him for the ride. So, it, you know, he's a special once-in-a-lifetime type athlete, and, you know, I was really fortunate to get a chance to be out there with him when he's, you know, still – I think he's got great golf years ahead of him. So it was really cool to be out there alongside him.
Well, congrats on a great weekend at the Players. And we always appreciate you taking time for us, especially coming off a busy weekend. So thank you for doing this, and I'm sure we'll track you down in the future. We'll get you back on the show.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
You got it. There's Mackenzie Hughes, Canadian, on the board. Adam Hadwin was also right there as well throughout the weekend, and
that shot he just described is so
ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous. It's just what that guy can do, or the top guys in the world now. It's, they hit shots. You play the courses and you go to the areas where they do it, and you just think, how in the hell did you do that? I'm sure every guy that's been to Glen Abbey, they go to the 18th, they drop a ball in the bunker, mm-hmm. they grab a 6-iron, and they slash it around in the water, and it's just...
It's 30, 40 yards short.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that with a 6-iron. You'd have to pull
out. Well, that's what he hit.
No, I know he hit that, but yeah. You're like a regular Joe. You're not hitting a 6-iron out of that.
Regular Joe doesn't have a club in his bag to get over that water.
No, you're chipping out back onto the fairway. Absolutely. Or acting like a hero and taking like a four-wood out of the
that's
bunker.
The amateur 20 handicap that takes the fairway wood out
I
of the bunker.
It.
You know you're winning money.
It's my favorite shot in my bag.
Do you pull out the wood?
Absolutely.
You do the hybrid out of a bunker?
If I have to. If I'm looking to make the green in two or three, hero golf. Every day of the week.
Wow.
Let's start live betting when we start playing.
There you go. I'll be the in between.
You can be the bookie.
I'll be the bookie.
We were talking about how much Tiger Woods makes when he goes over to the Middle East.
Yeah.
Like appearance fees. So someone sent this tweet in. Nothing's official.
This is Joe from the Bridge.
No, it's like a legitimate. And I've read other things. Like he makes $2 to $3 million per appearance. Like a number of years ago, he went over there and pulled in like $8 million over the course of a couple of weeks, because he got $3 million at the Abu Dhabi
and won
a championship. He got $2 million for the one-on-one match with Rory McIlroy. Remember when he was over there doing that? That was, I think, when Rory had just signed on with Nike, and another $3 million to play the Turkish Airlines Open. So he goes over there for like 10 days and makes $8 million.
That's insane.
No, I don't know if he's still doing that. That might have been prior to the most recent events and the breakdowns and all that, but. This guy goes anywhere in the world, man. He's not doing it for free. He's making a fortune. So Duthie will join us at 5. We'll get into the NHL playoffs. And we've got David Purdom from ESPN on the sports gambling legalization story from earlier today and how it might affect your in-arena experience in the future. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Duthie in studio at 5. Bob McKenzie in studio in the 6 p.m. hour. So I put my life on the line yesterday afternoon. It was Mother's Day.
Oh.
Took a brief nap.
Ooh.
Just not long, but a nap on Mother's Day for the
90 minutes?
No, not even close. I'm not that stupid.
20 minutes?
Probably.
The horse, buddy.
20 minutes. But you trying to slide in a nap on Mother's Day is...
There are a lot of women that see their man have a nap, and they do not like... Like, does Steph care if you have a nap?
No, she's usually the one having a nap.
What is Aaron's reaction when you have a nap?
She's not a napper. Like, she doesn't nap.
So the one that's... The people that aren't nappers, they'll look at their significant other and say, why are you napping?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you feel it necessary to nap right now?
I do think there's a lot of anti-napping, like... material in the world.
I say sleep when you can sleep. Like, I don't have a problem with it. Like,
there is nothing better than a round of golf, couple beers, couch, watch golf, and just shut it down for half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Is that too much to ask?
I'm pro-napping.
I
love a nap.
I don't nap that much, but, like, I don't mind. I tease Steph that she's lazy and all that, but I if she wants a nap, go ahead. Like, as long as... But she's the one who's got to get up with a kid at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I've been yelled at.
Sleep when you want.
Yelled at for napping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, naps are good, especially a 20-minute. That's a refresher.
Well, that's the thing. Like, our daughter was asleep. She was having her nap. We were on the couch. We weren't doing anything. It's not like we could have been doing something else.
But what are you supposed to be out doing?
Well, like, the thing is, we went to the zoo in the morning, right?
I saw that.
I've been accused of being called spoiled when napping. Oh, you're spoiled. Because you got to nap when you played hockey. It's all about you. Now you're napping. You're not playing hockey.
So, wait a minute. Retroactive scorn? Like when you used to play, I hated the fact that you napped when you played?
No, it's just because
it's all about you.
Like when you played hockey, you got to nap all the time. And you think you're entitled to napping now because it's been a part of your life for so long.
Yeah,
it's
I don't
a routine.
Know. I don't know about entitlement, but like if you're on the couch and you shut the
spoiled.
Milk for a bit, who cares?
Spoiled.
It's I'm fine with it as long as you are productive around that.
Get everything else done. Like I said, like we were at the zoo in the morning, and the zoo is quite the experience, man. We like the zoo guy was because have you guys been to the Toronto Zoo?
No.
Yeah.
Where you know it's like you stay on the path and you go all the way around and you hit all the different regions
what
of the world.
What kind of animals are there? Like
everything, almost everything. Like we saw everything.
Tiger.
Yeah, tigers
lions
are in there.
And stuff.
Lions are in there.
It's
you got
zoo.
Gorillas. It's
no,
a zoo.
I know, but like the Calgary Zoo is very well known. But like you know, I've been there just to take, you know, nephews and friends and stuff. Like I say, I've never animals scare me.
Yeah, it's
especially
not your world.
In those settings.
Well, I'll tell you what,
you should get that in your email list of things you do like from the zoo today. the lion's pissed off, noodles don't come.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Don't go on the 404 because it's really busy.
Yeah, we need a noodles app.
Yeah.
That's what has to happen. But it is a strange experience when you lock eyes with an animal that you know would destroy you if that barrier wasn't up.
And there's a tiny little barrier that you have no idea who's put that together and how loose the screws are.
You make eye contact with like a polar bear.
I think at the zoo, there should be a bonus package.
And a lot of these animals are...
Like, I want to pay $500. I want to see a lion, like, throw a big giant steak over, and I want to see him just go crazy.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how that works, man. I've been in the zoo in 25 years.
Let's get into it in the 5 o'clock.
All right. Don't forget, Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.